Good morning, No BS women. Come on in. I'm Coach Heather. We're talking about busting diet drama this morning. Let me pull up my chat box. See. Where is it? Why can't I see my chat box? There. Good morning. There you all are. Okay, you're going to need a pen and some paper. I'm going to go ahead and promote Coach Ashley. Here she comes. She is going to be supporting you in the chat this morning. For those of you who are live with me, I want you to go ahead and look down at your chat. And I want you to set it to everyone so that when you do chat, everyone can see your messages. So again, you need a pen, you need a pencil, a pen or pencil, journal, digital or paper, doesn't matter. In true Coach Heather fashion, I'm going to be asking you some questions and giving you homework. Now, if you have not made your daily 24-hour plan, your instructions right now are to do that first. Okay. Can I see a reaction from the No BS members? If you go down on the bottom and you hit reactions, you'll see some emojis there from the newbies. If you've been in No BS for, let's say, 90 days or less, give me a reaction. Okay, welcome, welcome. Maybe this is some of your first experience with diet mentality discussions. My goal for this call is that you understand the impact that diet thinking and conditioning has on your weight loss journey. And not only understanding it intellectually, but being able to do something about it to bust through some of the blocks for your weight loss. Okay, I am going to hide non-video participants. Okay, so let's get started. A little bit about me. Nice to see you too, Gloria. I am approaching my 3-year anniversary as a No BS coach. I had some experience with unexplained weight gain. I had high blood sugar, pre-diabetes, and fatty liver, all while eating what I thought was very virtuous vegan food. I wasn't eating vegan because I thought, like morally it was the right thing. I thought that was really the only way that I could lose weight. And what ended up happening, like I said, was I got pre-diabetic and non-alcoholic fatty liver. And I went through training to try to understand why I couldn't lose weight. Like, I hadn't discovered No BS. I felt like totally alone. I didn't understand. Like, no one was working harder than me to exercise and eat virtuously and take off the weight. And I just kept gaining and gaining and gaining. Now, I knew I was overeating as well, and I also knew I was overdrinking. So slowly I started to unwind all of that. I did eat a low carb approach to try to heal my fatty liver and my prediabetes, and I did do that. That's all reversed now. I found Corinne. I went to life coach school. I understood more about fuel regulation in the body, and I also learned how to work out my emotional overeating. And that is what really helped me a lot. I also quit drinking for good after about 7 years of trying to moderate. So that's kind of the particulars around how I came to my weight loss journey and came to found Corinne and No BS. So I work primarily with, well, right now I work with 35 private clients each week, and you will see me inside of the new Ask Coaches feature. So, bring, I hope that you're checking that out on the website and you're seeing how wonderful it is to be able to correspond with a coach. And you get also like an email to let you know when your answer is ready. And the link in the email will take you right to the answer in your question. So that's great. So hopefully everyone has done their 24-hour plan today. Yeah. I had a half a bagel this morning with cream cheese and Nova. For lunch, I'm having salad and some kind of protein. And then tonight, I have, like many of you, a holiday party to go to. And I have no idea what's going to be served. And for that, I just wrote follow doable hunger. Done. I did my plan in 30 seconds, really, this morning. So I tend not to snack. I just don't anymore. Okay, so today's call, I'm going to go over a little bit of the background of diet mentality, how I think about it, how I teach it with my private clients. And then you can go ahead and use that Q&A box. Coach Ashley will answer the questions that she thinks are specific to you, and she can leave any questions that you that may I may want to answer that's helpful to all of you. Okay. So let me just pull up my notes here. All right. Let's see. We've got one person raising their hand. Yes. Kelly, you'll probably be first. You'll go if you want to get coached, we're going to have time for that. And based on what I'm saying here today, if anything comes up for you around diet mentality and you want a coach feedback on how you can work with your diet mentality, raise your hand and I'll try to get to everybody. Okay, so why is diet mentality in the way of weight loss? Well, diet mentality, let's look at closer, like what it is. Diet mentality is thinking like you can't have certain foods because they're bad or they won't let me like lose weight. And maybe that comes from your own personal experience. Maybe that comes from reading diet programs your whole life. Like there's so much conditioning in there. It just kind of operates there because for most of us, it's been there for so long. So, what are the implications of thinking this? Like having a habit of thinking it? Well, it creates feelings of restriction. Think about it. If there's good foods and bad foods, that means that we're thinking we can't have certain foods, or if we do have them, we've been bad. And I hear this even with my own private clients who I've been working with for like a long time, who are very seasoned, no BS women, many of them. They're like, well, I was so good this week, or I was having so many good days. Like we say this stuff, that is like evidence that diet mentality is working. The truth is you ate food, you made choices around food, right? But see how the goodness or badness of your, like, I call it over the shoulder clipboarding yourself, taking notes on like how you're doing and what you're doing and the goodness or badness of it creates this sense of like being controlled by this agenda you have for how to get what you want. And this is what diet mentality tells us. So we come into no BS, which we know is different, but we still kind of operate with this sense of like the agenda. We're supposed to be good around food. And the problem with good food, bad food mentality creates that sense of restriction. What does restriction do when we feel restricted? What do? Think about it with anything. Put it in the chat. I'm curious what y'all think. When you feel restricted, what do you do? Pam says rebel. Yeah. What else? You want it more. Yeah. I always think about this cute boy that I liked in high school, and he wasn't interested in me. And then I became obsessed with him. It's the same with food. And here's the problem with shame, self-sabotage, focus more on it. You want it more. You get discouraged, you get depressed, you get obsessed. Yeah. This is just supply and demand. Like I do have an economics degree, and this is how economics works. When the perception of supply is that there's not a lot of something or you're not allowed to have something, what happens? Go back to COVID. Remember the first supply problem in COVID? What did everyone do with toilet paper? I mean, they went crazy, right? They bought enough toilet paper for 5 years, maybe more. Yeah, you hoard it. So you see how diet mentality sets you up to think, I can't have the things that my body is literally wired to desire. Like you have sweet receptors on your tongue, you have salty receptors. You know, like crunching food gives you a dopamine hit. Like we're wired with the stuff that gets us to like eat. And then we judge ourselves as bad for it. Then we tell ourselves we can't have it. And then when we think we can't have it, We just want it more, or all of these other negative things that happen. And I want you to think about your primal ancestor in Paleolithic times. When she saw the watering hole was drying up, her reaction to that restriction or low supply was to grab all the water. And that probably is what kept her alive, because she had water to live while she went and found another place that had water. And so I tell you this because this is deeply wired into our human nature. This supply demand restriction over desire is just how we are. There's nothing wrong with you for having over desire for foods that you've thought are bad. Okay? I really want you to hear this. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a human being who's trying to override conditioning and then also your natural desires and your tastes, your natural tastes and preferences for food. And this is where No BS comes in. And it just says, okay, we're going to start to unwind this. Okay. I want to tell you a quick story before I start coaching. The first time I realized I had diet mentality was when I was like 7. So my mother, I love my mother. My mother always had great intentions with us. She wanted us to eat healthy. We didn't, all we had was Cheerios and like plain shredded wheat in the house for breakfast foods. And I had thoughts about this that I didn't like that very much because I loved sugary cereals. This is back in the 70s, of course, when it was all like the sugary cereals. And I was 7. I liked it. So I didn't get it at the house, but my Aunt Joy kept all the sugary cereals. Like she had 4 kids and they had Sugar Smacks and Captain Crunch and all of these things. And I would go sleep over there. And my Aunt Joy was just absolutely like amused by me because I would ask her for a bowl of Captain Crunch. And then I wanted a bowl of Sugar Smacks. And then I wanted a bowl of Boo Berry and all of these other. I would just overeat all the breakfast cereal. And my cousins were looking at me like, why are you eating so much cereal? Because for them, it wasn't a bad, like, it wasn't a moral issue in their house. They just had cereal. And actually, my cousins didn't even really eat very much cereal. And they just thought I was strange. They didn't understand it, you know? And my aunt would send me back with boxes of cereal. Of course, my mom wasn't really happy about it. But I saw how that over desire really played out, even when I was very, very young. So then, and then I felt bad for over desiring it, right? And wanting things that were different than my mom thought I should have. So I internalized it as goodness, good versus bad foods. And this is just, we don't need to like do anything about this. We're just going to work from here, whatever diet mentality you have. And we're going to work with changing the thoughts around that, really questioning them. This is neuroplasticity. This is changing your habits of thinking, feeling, and doing around food. It takes a lot of practice. It takes courage. It takes self-compassion. And it takes like this idea that we're going to have hurdles. We're going to have setbacks. That's part of the process. So, for example, when I first did this, after I had high blood sugar and fatty liver, and I had eaten low carb for years and years, my conditions reversed. And I said to my doctor, so I still have to eat low carb, right? Because I have a propensity to like not do good with carbs. And he's like, no. Your sugars are totally normal. You can eat whatever you want. And actually, that felt very scary for me. But I knew that I needed to do this work to get back to a normalized relationship with food. So I started with chocolate croissants. And I decided that every weekend I was going to plan for chocolate croissants. And I was scared I was going to overeat them. I mean, I kind of knew I was going to, but I believed Corinne. And I believed in the theory of supply and demand. I was trained in economics. Like I knew I had over desire. The only way to decrease the over desire is to make the demand, the supply of it more plentiful, which means planning for it. Okay. So the first 3 weekends, I overate chocolate croissants. I would have them when I wasn't yet hungry because I was so excited to have them. And then I'd have more than one, which was overeating. It was eating past enough, right? But by the third weekend, I wasn't overeating them anymore. It was just that first 3 weeks. And then after that, as long as I always plan for them on the weekends, I just do. But nowadays, it's just another choice for breakfast foods. Okay. So that's how I decreased my over desire for like sweet pastries in the morning. Okay. It required like my admission ticket to normalize my relationship with that food was I had to be willing to go through the process of overeating it and knowing I could still have it. And then like inner me eventually got the idea, she's just going to keep planning this. And then I could kind of sit in that seat of like my cousins looking at me looking at me going, you don't have to overeat all this stuff. It's okay. You can have it. You can learn to have it. All right. So I think we're ready to start coaching. And I am going to give you some coach homework before the end. So I want you to somebody remind me at like 10 of the hour to switch back over and I'm going to give you the questions. Okay. So let's see who's got their hands raised. If anything has come up with this for you, then go ahead and raise your hand. Get coached. I mean, it's not enough to like think about it and beat yourself up over it. Get some coaching. And maybe this is like the game changer for you, like chocolate croissant planning was for me. All right, Alexandra, you're coming up. Okay. Just unmute yourself, Alexandra, and start your video, please.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi, do you go by Sasha or Alexandra?
My friends call me Sasha.
Hi,
In my work
Sasha.
world, I'm Alexandra. So yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for picking me. I was like dying to be coached.
I'm so glad. Okay, let's talk about diet mentality or diet drama.
So just like a very brief background, so you know where I'm coming from. Like I was slim for a lot of my life, and I can relate to a lot of things you said about childhood. Like my mom did stuff like that. And so I get that restrictive stuff, but it didn't really affect my weight when I was young. And in my late 20s, I just started slowly gaining weight. Like I'd stopped smoking, I became more sedentary. I'm living in New Orleans, the food is yummy. I started using
Okay.
Inscopine, all that stuff. So hit my high at like over 200 pounds. And for the past like 10, 15 years, I've struggled to kind of come down more significantly from that. And I've tried like Sugar Busters, all that. All right. So, no BS. I've been involved with no BS for a number of years now, for a while, and then last like year and a half paid. And I'm still really kind of hovering in the same weight range. And I almost kind of gave up. And then, and a lot of, and I feel like I've lost a lot of mental weight. Like I feel like I've given up a lot of those drama things. Like I used to think like mashed potatoes or things like that are bad, and I just gonna put it on my plan. And I feel like I've been doing okay with it. I did used to think like drinking was probably a big issue, and I used to drink a lot. And through the mindful drinking group, like I've gone 30 days without. I
Great.
struggle with moderation. Okay. But I found that even when I don't drink for 30 days, I still am not really losing weight. And so where I am now is I'm trying to kind of speed it up because I don't want to talk
Oh,
forever.
it's fine. Just take your time.
Okay. So where I am now is like I feel like I've dropped a lot of drama. But like I keep being like around 205. And when I've done other diets, like I did like Sugar Busters, like I could lose 20 pounds. I didn't gain it back, but then I'd kind of hit like a self-sabotage, or I'd do paleo and I'd kind of hit a self-sabotage. And so that's kind of how I'd lost some initial weight, was things like that, but then I'd kind of plateau. So I really love the no BS concept. I love the idea of enjoying my food. I feel like I'm enjoying it a lot more. That's like
good
for me. I enjoy it a lot more. You know, last night, I didn't think I really did so much emotional eating, but last night I was about to just grab like just one or two milk duds at the end of the evening because I was stressed about something. And I was like, no, I don't need that. You know, just like things like that. And, but again, like I'll lose. So then in August, I was ready to give up no BS. And I just thought, you know, this is the only way I want to lose weight. I'm going to really do it because I kind of
stopped
off doing stuff. I'm going to really do it.
Yep.
So I got an accountability partner.
Right.
I listened to the self-sabotage program. I haven't listened to the whole thing, but I found it really helpful. And I feel like I'm much better with the self-sabotage.
Okay.
I was finding parties really hard because in New Orleans, we have parties from like October to April, you know.
And why are parties hard?
Well, I feel like I'm getting them more under control, but I feel like they're hard because you kind of stumble into them in New Orleans. Like they happen a lot. You know, you get invited last minute to things. You don't know what's there.
Okay.
I'm trying to do like have a party protocol kind of in my pocket, so to speak, like off a plate, only, you know, one plate. I'm better with it. Honestly, I'm telling you all this to let you know, like I've tried a lot of different things and, you know, a couple, like in August, since I started really trying to do this, I was at about 205. I got on today. I'm still at about 205.
Okay. Like, do you have your data there right now?
I have some of it. Let's see.
If you could just, I'm wondering if you have the ability to quickly look, Pat, through the 7 days prior to your last weigh-in and tell me how many overeats you had. Or overdrinks?
The 7 days prior to what?
Your last weigh-in.
Oh, okay. Well, I weighed in yesterday morning.
Okay.
It was 205.
Okay.
And I just hadn't really budged. And so you want to see how many overeats I had?
How many overeats? Yeah. So let me just talk to everybody who's here while you look at your data. Weight isn't moving. This is for everyone. The way I teach it is I want you to count the number of overeats in the 7 days prior to your most recent weigh-in. That's resulting in maintaining or even the gaining, if some of you are gaining. That number, that frequency of overfueling your body is telling you you're overeating too often. There is a net zero in fuel. You're eating exactly the amount of fuel that your body needs to run itself. So it has no incentive to burn off any of your stored fuel. This is why it's so important for you to know how often you're overeating.
And by overeating, you mean off plan or going past enough?
Okay, so overeating, this is a great question. Thank you for asking it. Overeating is anytime you put food in your mouth without physical hunger present, and or anytime you eat to physical fullness. So this is played out with your going into your body. It's called interoception. Interoception is your reception of hunger, satiety, physical pain, anything going on in your body. This is not thinking that you've had enough. This is actually sensing what the stomach says. Now, our body, our brains will always tell us, it's probably I could have more. Like if our brains knew so much about how to lose weight, we all would have lost our weight by now. The thing that we're not doing is listening to the stomach as far as when to eat and how much to eat. Your plan, your daily plan, tells you what to eat by your choice. So that's how all these are played out. And it could just be that you're, did you find your number, Sasha?
So I'll tell you what I've been doing. Yes and no. Like I don't write, like I write notes on the days. I don't like sit there with each meal and say, I overate at this meal or at this snack. What I do is like at the end, I found that writing down my plan was challenging for me. So I write it on my phone in my notes.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, I put a little check mark and I write what I actually ate. And I write notes about if I feel like I really overate with something. I have looked at enough a lot for myself, and I've struggled a bit with that. So like sometimes like I'm hungry, I eat, and then I have trouble like noticing when it's enough. So I've like tried to consider the triggers. I've tried sometimes like
okay,
waiting.
But you're complicating this. So you're okay. I'm just letting you know you're way complicated. See how in your head you are about this?
Mm-hmm.
This is all you're thinking about hunger and enough. This isn't your interoception from your stomach. All you have to say is stomach. Are we physically hungry? The stomach will say yes or no. And then from that, you either eat or don't. While you're eating, you go into the area of your stomach, you sense what's happening there, ask, am I at enough? The stomach will say yes or no. That's it. One word. If you're not sure, just guess. Make your best guess. I don't know is not allowed. You're going to guess and you're going to get better. The more you guess, the more you guess, the more you guess. So you said you made notes as to whether or not you thought you overate. So you would just count up how many notes say, yes, I think I overate. So what's the number?
I mean, I guess I don't have like a really clear
tally. Okay, so that's your homework. I want you to go back because you have the memory of your lived experience with each of these meals. So go back. Now, for all of you using the No BS planner, next to what you plan, there's check marks that say, did I eat this when I was hungry? Did I stop it enough? And you should be checking those. If you're not checking those, you're not keeping track of the number of overeats, which is critical for weight loss. So let's say.
I did used to do that. And like I said, I felt like it was a little bit, I know when I'm hungry, right? Like I definitely know when I'm hungry, my stomach's rumbling a bit, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I eat and I think, okay, I'm at enough. And then I'm at enough. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, actually, no, I'm still kind of hungry.
Okay.
And I'll eat some more.
So what's wrong with using the check marks for that?
I mean, I could try it again. I guess I
you
feel
see, like I want you to just see how resistant you are to this. You're kind of resistant.
Well, because in the past I have like used check marks and I've really pushed, you know, I've really looked at hunger and enough. And I think I'm still kind of in this like maintenance place, you know?
Yeah, that's why I want you doing the check marks. Because you're not aware of how often you might be overeating. See, when with my clients, I always say, what's your blueprint number for the number of overeats you can have and still lose weight? For most of my clients, I have about 40 pounds or less to lose. It's about 3 to 2 times they can overeat and still lose weight.
In a week.
In a week.
In a week.
In a week. Now, this is not a, like, you guys, everybody's different. Okay, please, this is not a hard and fast rule. You have to figure out what this number is for yourself. Some people overeat very little. It's only one bite or two, and they have discernment to know that. So they can maybe overeat 5, 6 times, maybe 7. It depends on how you overeat, right? And what your metabolism is and all of that other stuff. But generally, if you start to count your overeats and then you see what that does on the scale, you'll know. So let's say you're somebody who can overeat 3 times and still lose weight. If you know this ahead of time, you can plan to overeat 3 times in your week. Or maybe you plan 2 for your parties in New Orleans, and then you give yourself like 1 to use in an oopsie overeat. You could try that. This takes you from a defensive strategy to never overeat. And then it changes into an offensive strategy where you tell your brain, we can overeat 3 times this week. And then it just takes the tension down.
Oh, so I have a question. I'd been listening to a lot about, you know, halftime method and leaving bites. I'm good at leaving bites, right? Like I'll sometimes say today or this week, I'm going to focus on leaving bites on my plate.
But that tells you nothing about what the stomach says. Like leaving bites is great for people who are the clean plate club and they just can't get past that. If that's where you're at, leaving bites behind is a great first step to start to get control over the plate. I have to eat everything on my plate. But if you're not there, I would much rather have you working on what does the stomach say? Get in touch with your body. Your body will never lie to you. Never.
And if I feel like I'm at enough right now after breakfast, like I just had breakfast and, you know, I'm practicing what you're telling me, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, enough. And although I feel like a little something in there, but
That's probably enough.
Okay.
So no stretching is usually part of enough. If your stretching sensors in your stomach are not engaged, but you're also not hungry, you're in some phase of enough, right?
Say stretching sensors, what do you mean?
There are stretching sensors in your stomach that give us that sense of like expandedness and like, oh, I'm so full. I got to unbutton my pants, right? It's like pushing on you. Those are stretching sensors. Usually when those start to engage, they're accompanied by physical fullness. So knowing this, you want to pull back and stop eating before those stretching sensors start to engage. This is not everyone, of course. But for many of my clients, avoiding stretching sensors is great. So that means you're no longer physically hungry, right? Yeah. And you can tell there's some mass in your stomach, but there's also not that stretching yet.
Okay? And if 20 minutes later, I'm hungry, like then that was enough
for
and have another snack.
Yeah. That means that you're stopping way before the optimal enough. If you're hungry 20 minutes later, but this is a process between you and your stomach. You're just getting to know each other. You're developing a good relationship. You're listening for signals and interpreting them in a way that you've never tuned into before, because we always listen to points and calories and bullshit and everything outside of ourselves. This is us taking back control in our body. We come hardwired with the hardwired things to tell us when and how much to eat. Am I hungry? Have I had enough?
I've been so tempted to just like count calories for a month because I feel sort of.
Yeah. And so what's the story? If counting calories worked so well, why are you like, you would have lost all your weight, right?
Well, I haven't tried it in a while, but yeah, I would have, yeah, back then.
Well, why'd you stop?
Because I kind of hit a plateau and didn't seem to budge from there.
Yeah. So it works. Here's the true story about calories and points and any kind of restrictive diet bullshit counting thing. It takes the stomach out of the equation. It tells you to disconnect from your body. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You can't trust your body. You trust us to tell you when and how much to eat. And we don't give a shit if you've used up all your food and you're starving. Doesn't matter. You just comply. We know that doesn't work. It feels terrible. So this is the call to come back to you. And are you going to be like a beginner with this and kind of fumble around and fuck it up a little bit? Yeah. But every time we're a beginner, we do that. Give yourself permission to like, just be a beginner and figure this out. Your stomach wants to talk to you. So bring the stomach to the conversation. There's manager you, there's the stomach, and then there's your urges and inner you who wants what she wants. You're at a party, right? We're going to walk in this house. We're in New Orleans. It's an awesome party. And you're there and you see the food. You got to ask the stomach, are we hungry? And if the stomach's like, we're full, like we just ate, then you know, this could be an overeat, one of your planned overeats. Or you can just say, I'm not going to eat.
There are so many parties here all through Mardi Gras that I just really have to, yeah, I have to, I'm working on figuring it out. I have like some
use
party
discernment.
Protocol. Yeah. So
eat at the best parties. Choose the ones that matter the most to you, and the rest, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
I hope I gave you some things to work on.
Yeah. I'll try that. I'll see how that goes. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank
it.
You, Sasha. Bye.
All right.
Okay. She's gone. Okay. Who else wants coaching? What do we think of that? Who has questions? But Heather, you don't understand. I'm different. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Tammy, let's go. Okay. We got a couple of Q&As in here. Here she comes. Unmute yourself and turn on your video, if you would, please, Tammy. Hi.
Wow, I didn't expect to be called on so soon. I'm in the middle of soaking my nails for a manicure. I guess I'll stop.
Nice. Do you have a holiday party tonight?
I do.
Nice.
My very last holiday. I'm retiring. And this is the last company holiday party.
Oh, my God. I just got goosebumps for you. That's
just
so nice.
I'm getting choked up. Oh.
Aw.
Yeah. So I've been at this firm for 28 years of my 30 years of practicing law. So,
wow. That's
yeah.
Always emotional for me too. You know, when people get like stand up and get awards after a lifetime's worth of work, like that is just so moving to me, you know,
yeah.
Like that's amazing. Let it land.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm nervous about that. And I'm nervous about I have a retirement party at work the next week. And,
okay.
I've always been like, oh, I don't, I'm such a good lawyer because I don't have any feelings. Like I've been known for being this bulldog, really mean. And so I kind of avoid any situation that, and you know, like I've never seen the Titanic because I heard it will make you cry. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. So,
okay.
But when I, you know, I'm just kind of like nervous about the party tonight that, that's going to lead to some overeating, but I guess really what I wanted, when I raised my hand, what I wanted coaching on is
yeah.
the fact that I am, I kind of have this life change going on. I'm going
yeah.
into retirement. I've got about 6 weeks after my last official day of work between the time my retirement ends and the time my new jobs, which is going to be full-time grandma, starts
Congratulations.
Of two babies under 1 year old. Yeah. So, and I'm about... I'm within 10 pounds of goal weight.
Okay.
My goal weight. And I had like an A goal weight and then a B goal weight. So I'm really just a few pounds away from my B goal weight.
Okay.
And then within 10 of my what I really wanted to do.
Okay.
And now I just have this mindset that I'm not going to be able to do the A, what I really wanted, because it's going to just take so much restriction.
Yeah.
And I'm here I am. I'm like, I'm, you know, over, I'm 55 and I'm like, I don't want to, and I'm retired. Like, do I really want to spend the rest of my life dieting? Like really restricting.
Oh, well, of course you'd feel that way if you said like, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be so miserable.
Yeah.
Well, let's test this theory because I mean, first of all, If we had 100% belief before we did anything, would it actually ever mean anything once we got there?
No, it wouldn't be a challenge.
No, you'd be like, it's the same as like writing my name down. Like I can do that. It doesn't
yeah.
mean anything. Like weight loss is one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves to say, I'm going to find out who the fuck I am in the process of this. I'm going to figure out like what's in my way. I'm going to change a few little habits that are left to get to my goal weight. And in the process, I'm going to change. I'm going to have more awareness, more discernment. And I'm going to get to prove this thing, this doubting thing. Like think of an Olympic athlete who trains. They say, I'm going to train for the Olympics. I'm an Olympic athlete. Do they know they're going to win the Olympics?
No.
Do they even know they're going to qualify?
No.
What do they focus on day to day?
The training. And I know. Yeah. And I'm a runner. Like, I'm running a half marathon tomorrow. So I know about the training, but I also know that the training can really suck. And I'm always happy when the race is over. And the first thing I do is run and get pancakes. So that's been my thing, is that like, when I've gotten down to goal weight or even below goal weight, it's always been because of really drastic, like the Weight Watchers and then MetPro. And
so that makes total sense why you are doubtful, right? And your brain is like, please, let's not do that again.
Yeah. Cause I know that it works, but I know it's hard. And then I know it doesn't stay. And so I'm just like,
right. But you're not doing that now.
Yeah.
You're going to plan the foods you love. And then you're going to look for when you're eating, when you're not hungry. That's the lowest hanging fruit. You're going to clean that up. Because really, how is it hard if you're not hungry for the food that you want to eat?
Here's my deal. I have my data, like I have it handy here, and I just put in the chat. Like, I know from my data that if I overeats, and I'm not talking like stuff my face overeats, but I mean overeats where I feel afterward. To me, overeat is I felt kind of full when I was done eating, or I felt like, you know, I was definitely done, but then maybe 10 minutes later, I felt like, oh, I ate too much, or I felt fine, but then 10 minutes later, I ate too much. For me, it takes a while to catch up. I can have only like 3 or 4 a month. And otherwise I won't lose weight. And when I do lose weight, it literally is, it could be like 1/4 pound to 1 pound. And so
what's wrong with that?
It just seems like I should be able, like, I guess I'm no special snowflake. Like, I heard you saying to the other woman, like, most of your clients can have 2-3 a week. And here I am, 2-3 a month. And like, do I have the metabolism of a snail or what? Like, it just seems maybe.
Well,
I guess
mean, you
I
have
do.
The metabolism. Okay. Well, you have the metabolism you have, and that's what we have to work with. It's just, that's just hard knocks, right?
Right.
Life isn't fair. Yeah. And thinking it should be is just indulging in thoughts that don't feel good. So your work is to really discover whether or not you are overeating as few times as you think you are. My suspicion is that you've got small little overeats that you're not counting.
Right.
Where you're going a bite or two over enough. Maybe for all meals. Now, if you think about this, 21 meals, let's say you have 21, 3 times 7 is 21. And you overeat 2 bites at every meal. 21 times two, that's many meals worth of extra bites.
You know, that's probably a really good point, because I've really been focusing on in the last year or so watching dinner, because dinner is when I eat my dinner with my husband. We would normally, because I'm working, go out, and that's where I would see all my overeats. And I never really evaluated breakfast or lunch. And then I found that if I kind of restricted or did halftime or really severely portioned my breakfast or lunch, then come dinner time, I would definitely overeat.
Okay. So, see, you're setting yourself up with diet mentality.
Yeah.
See how the restriction, the water hole that's drying up?
Yeah.
It's making you grab at dinner.
Yeah.
That, so I don't want you restricting. I want you asking the stomach, are we hungry?
What was that word that you used at the beginning?
It's called interoception. interoception. Look it up. I just discovered it like last week.
So physically,
it's your internal sense of what's going on inside of your body.
Okay.
It's not thinking about what's going on in your body. It's actually perceiving body signals that happen. You know how, like, you know, when you gotta like go number two, you're like,
right.
That's interoception.
That's a good, really good.
Pain is interoception, right? You're not having a thought about it. You're just receiving a message. And a lot of times We're so focused on other things, thoughts about eating, what we should eat, what we shouldn't, what's enough, what's not. We're not paying attention to what's happening inside of our bodies. Our bodies hold so many of these answers that we're trying to work out with a mind that is an unreliable narrator around food. Because you know, fortunately or unfortunately, our brains are designed to overeat, right? Like the primal part of our nature wants to eat more than we need so we can have lots of fat stores to protect us against famine or attack or whatever. It doesn't know you're living in a 21st century world. So we just have to know that our brain, we want to question anything we think, but we can always believe the body. And so when the body has a bigger say, or you actually give it the microphone, or you listen, that clarity around, am I actually following doable hunger as much as I think I am, will help you lose all that, just those remaining pounds that you have. Okay. No more restricting.
Okay.
Listen to your stomach. It has all the answers for you. If you're not hungry for breakfast, don't eat.
Yeah, I guess it may be, I guess it'll be an interesting exercise because working, you know, I got to eat before I get to work because I know that's like my opportunity. And then
wait,
lunchtime,
why do you have to eat before you go to work if you're not hungry?
This is historically what I've been doing. But now when I retire, I'm just going to have to rely on what you're saying.
Okay, well, just that alone could hold all these extra pounds on you. What you've been thinking you had to do at work, which is eat when you're not hungry, right? That's overfueling your body. If you're not feeling active hunger, here's what's happening underneath the hood. You have circulating blood sugar and fuel that is plenty enough to fuel your activities right now. If you eat when you're not hungry, you're overfueling yourself. And the body has to do something with that. So it will pack it away in the form of glycogen in your muscles and your liver, or it will make new fat. So every time you eat when you're not hungry, you're overfueling yourself. That is directly in the way of weight loss.
So let me ask you this. I've heard Corinne say in the past that you should eat at the first whisper of hunger. And I remember her saying that.
It depends on the person. It really depends on where you're at in your journey.
Okay.
I mean, we have beginners here to people who've been in no BS for years and years. So that is really a personal question that you need to bring to ask coaches, and we'll help you work on where you're at with eating in response to physical hunger. But your awareness of the first signs of hunger is great. It's also nice to know how your hunger builds over time. How long from this first sign of hunger until you're way over hungry and then you're overeating. You don't want to wait that long.
Right.
Right. But maybe first sign of hunger, maybe you want to just drink some water and see if it's just thirst. If your hunger doesn't come back within 20 minutes, you know you were just thirsty. Okay. That's just figuring out the interoception. Is it thirst? Is it hunger? What is it?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to Google that word.
Go work. Go. Do some experimentation with your restriction and talking to your stomach. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Let me know. All right. Thanks, Tammy.
Bye. Okay.
Let's see. Okay. So you'll notice there's a question in the chat that I just saw about waves of hunger. Again, everybody feels hunger differently. Hunger is a very individual thing for everyone. Like I work with a client who literally cannot feel her hunger. And so I really hesitate to give you ideas about what is hunger, but there is a worksheet about common signs of hunger that you can start to just be aware of. I want you to think about it like this though. You're discovering a brand new friend who's inside your body. Like, what do you do with new friends? Like, you pay attention to them. You listen to what they say. Like, you're just really curious. You don't make judgments about it. You just get to know the person. And this is what I want you to do with your hunger and enough signals in your body. Ashley, I think the worksheet is called the Doable Hunger Worksheet, is it? We can put it in the notes for this call if we can't find it by the time the chat ends or the call ends. Okay, so it's time now for your questions. This is where we're going to get into action to work with our diet thinking, our diet drama. There's a question in the Q&A. Thanks so much for this call, Heather. You're so good at debunking my diet mentality. Thank you, Carla. I'm glad it was helpful. You just kind of act like a litigator. Pretend you are like Tammy, who's an attorney, right? What your thoughts think about good food, bad food, restriction, always like put them on the cross-examining chair and really cross-examine them and say, like, is this going to make my weight loss harder or easier? Is this absolutely true, or is this just part of the story? Okay. Amanda says, so this interoception is cool, but if you eat salad to fullness versus eating ice cream to fullness, isn't that totally different? Obviously, you're going to gain weight with ice cream versus salad. Yeah, but you're assuming, Amanda, in that like logical answer, that the calories consumed to fullness with the ice cream will be too much. We don't know that. You have to just be willing to experiment, because our bodies react differently with our satiety that's created with different foods. And this is just unique to each individual. And don't forget, when you start planning foods that you've told yourself are bad or that block weight loss or you shouldn't have, you're going to have over desire for them. That just comes along for the ride until inner you gets the idea that we're not restricting these foods anymore because we think they're blocking weight loss. I mean, there are people who have medical conditions, and if that's you, you know with your doctor what you can eat and what you can't. But for the rest of us, this is work that we need to do that's individual. Okay, so now I want to give you your questions. And again, these will be in the call write-up. Ashley, I will give them to you. All right, ready? Number one, and I'll put these all in the chat. What foods have I been thinking are bad or cause me to gain weight? That's question one. What foods have I been thinking are bad or cause me to gain weight? Okay. Number two, regarding the answer to number one, is this just diet thinking or have I actually experimented to see if I can eat these foods with doable hunger and lose weight? That's number two. Is this just diet thinking about the answer to number one, or have I actually experimented to see if I can eat these foods with doable hunger, meaning don't overeat them, and lose weight? Number three, how often am I giving myself permission to eat these foods now? How often am I giving myself permission to eat these foods now? Number four, how often do I want to give myself permission to eat these foods? Number five, is there a difference between your answers to number three and number four? And how much? That should be very enlightening. Okay, here's where we get into action with diet mentality. What am I going to plan to eat this week to work on diet thinking, diet drama, diet mentality? Maybe for some of you, you don't need to do this. You've already done this work, and that's great. Again, you all know that like there's different levels of no BS women who are going to be listening to this call and who are on the call right now. Some of you don't need to do this work. Some of you plan all the foods that you love. Doesn't mean you need to do this. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. But for you, then this might just be a nice like confirmation that you're doing all the you've done your work with diet mentality, and it's really great for you. It's kind of like, you know, when you go into yoga class and the instructor demonstrates with straps and blocks and stuff. The advanced yogi knows I don't need to use a block. I don't need to use a strap. I see a lot of no BS women who are like, oh, there's a worksheet. I should do that. Oh, there's this. I should do that too. But I want you using discernment. Use the tools we give you in a way that's helpful for you to work on where your growth edge is on this. I do think many of you have a lot of work to do with this. And even myself, like I make these Hungarian cookies around the holidays, and that's going to be my diet mentality food to really work on. I have a history of overeating them since I was old enough to have a cookie at my grandmother's, who was Hungarian. And these cookies, they win every cookie contest that you can think of. They're so good. They almost look like arugula, but they're made with sour cream, and they've got at filling, or they have nut, or they have prune, and they've got powdered sugar on the top. They're called kiffles, Hungarian kiffles. And they take a long time to make, their pastry and such. But I was thinking about like, what food do I want to work with this holiday season? I think you can find the recipe online. Just write Heather Beardsley Hungarian cookies and you should find it. I did share it, and it has gotten a lot of, just if you're looking for it online, my recipe, just Hungarian cookies and then my name, Heather Beardsley, you'll find it. But the point is, whatever food you feel like you shouldn't eat or that you always overeat or it controls you, see if that's your work to do, just start really easy in a way. You could just maybe start journaling around it. You could just start with these questions and just let it sit for a week if you want. You don't have to run into it like and make it hard. I want you to just make it easy, right? Just if you want, like Sasha, just count how many times you've been overeating. Maybe that's your work this week, okay? Any of this work counts as using the value of the program, okay? You all showed up for this call, even if you're listening to it on a replay. And that is the work. Give yourselves credit. Be receptive to knowing I might have doubts. I might have over desire. Sometimes I return back to diet thinking. It doesn't mean anything's going wrong. It just means I have a brain that remembers old thinking. And that is just part of it. I mean, you know, I quit drinking 3 years ago. Was it 3 years ago? Yeah, in April. And I had a habit of over drinking Sauvignon Blanc. And I tried to moderate for many years. You know, it was a lot of work. It was tough work for me. And I finally quit. And it doesn't feel hard anymore. The first month that I quit drinking Sauvignon Blanc, it felt like somebody was peeling my skin off my body. That's how uncomfortable changing habits around what you overconsume can feel. And I want you to know that that's okay. You just have to be willing to be uncomfortable to change your habits around food. Now, I live in Florida. It's warm here a lot of the time. When I go out for dinner and I see a nice cold glass of Sauvignon Blanc, and this could be for any food you see, doesn't have to mean drinking. And you like, I sometimes think, oh, that looks good. You see that? But I don't make it mean, oh my God, I'm going to like question my sobriety. Oh, I can't do this. I don't believe in myself. No, it just means my brain is just like, is that what you want? Like for any shitty thought that comes in, just make it into a question, not a statement. Your brain just ever wants to know, what do we want to think about this? And if your brain is coming up with a bunch of horse shit that you don't want to think, just say, I don't want to think that anymore. Then you give it its replacement, redirect it. At a minimum, you could just say, oh, that's just something I'm used to thinking. And this is how you change your habits of thinking over time. That can completely change your life. Okay. Ashley got up at 7 a.m. to moderate this call. Thank you, Ashley. You are a goddess. We love you so much. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining the call today. Work on your diet drama. Work on your diet thinking. Corinne's going to be talking about it every Wednesday in December. This is a live course that is being rolled out each Wednesday, and then it will become part of your resources inside of No BS, and you'll always be able to access it. Okay. Make sure you've written your plan. Go answer those five questions, okay? We'll talk soon. Bye, everybody.